You're listening to audio from The Village Church, a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's mission, gathering weekly in the heart of downtown Hamilton, Ohio. For more information about The Village or to connect with us, you can find us online at myvillagechurch.com.
Welcome to an episode of the Formed and Sent podcast, a podcast by The Village Church and for The Village Church that gathers in downtown Hamilton, Ohio. My name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors here of The Village, and I also have with me today...
Michael Graham.
And Matt Tucker.
All of us are elders here. We are today recording an episode in preparation for our family meeting this coming Sunday, February 22nd, 2026, our one of two family meetings that we have every year. And we record these things in advance of those family meetings for a couple reasons. One, we try to honor your time at those family meetings, try to keep it to an hour. And so these conversations let us say whatever and maybe give more context and some more detail to some things without the constraints of that time. But also, we know that just dumping information on you guys the first time during those family meetings, some folks are post-processors or just like to look at it, think about stuff, stew on things in advance, and then show up with questions. And so that's one of the values of our family meetings is it's FaceTime. And so we can talk at you all day long on a podcast, and we can post stuff on the family meeting page on the website, which we will do. And this will be part of that as well. But we don't always get to interact with you over those things in person with everybody in the room at the same time. So we wanted to give you this information in advance so those of you who like to know can stew on it and think about questions and all that stuff that you might want to bring up when we're all together on Sunday. So we will actually just kind of move through the agenda as it will probably show up on Sunday night. And just as a reminder, that is... again, Sunday, February 22nd, but from 6 to 7 p.m. So if you're listening to this in advance, just a reminder that's when that's happening. But we'll walk through the agenda kind of as we will do that on Sunday. So might sound familiar when you show up, but also here you go. This is the information in advance. So we will start, as we always do, kind of with like talking about numbers and stuff. We kind of assumed that the biggest thing people would be wanting to know is, hey, the two gathering stuff. Is it working? How's it going? Whatever. And we'll speak to all that in a bigger picture in a minute. But wanted to paint a picture for you guys of where we are in relation to where we thought we might be at the last family meeting. So back in August, we had our last family meeting. And we threw up a slide, and we'll throw this up here at the family meeting on Sunday. We'll put slides and stuff on the website as well you guys can look at. But we had projected that by the end of 2025, we would be looking at about 75 kids in Kayville, 195 people like in the main gathering area, about 290 total on a Sunday. That's what we were looking towards, projecting for the end of 2025. And so where we are right now, we are, instead of 75 kids, we're at 79 kids on average on a Sunday. Instead of 195 in the main gathering, we're at 202. And instead of 290 total, we are at 306 total on average people. So we have exceeded kind of where we thought we would be by the end of 2025, which is like really encouraging. And in August, we are like average attendance in August was 275. And so we have increased by 11% since August in terms of our total main gathering attendance or total attendance overall on a Sunday. And the trend line for that, it's not like we had a big boom, you know, at the end of November, early December, whatever. And then we've trickled off since then. We'll throw slides up again on Sunday for you to see at the family meeting, but there's just been a steady increase over the course of the last few months since we moved to two gatherings. And yeah, that's just really encouraging. So we have had more people than we ever had before, and the making room for the folks, hey, folks are showing up for that. If you're curious about kind of how that is divvied up between the 9 a.m. and the 10 a.m., we have on average total about 138 folks showing up at the 9 a.m. and 198 folks on average showing up at the 10:45. So there's a more even split when it comes to Kayville. There's about you know, yeah, it's about the same. There's a little less than 9 a.m., but it's actually, I think there's more babies, more on the younger side that show up to that early one. But total kids, it's pretty split between the two gatherings, which is, that says something. Yeah. There are a couple of other fun signs of life around the village. Our largest normal Sunday gathering, again, when we had our family meeting in August, our largest regular Sunday was back in June. June 23rd of 2025, and we were at 315. Since we've moved to two gatherings, we have surpassed that total four different times on four different Sundays. So we have actually had our largest normal Sunday gathering ever this past Sunday, February 15th. We had more Kayville kids than we've ever had before, like, and it was like almost 90 or over 90 kids, I think, in Kayville, which is crazy. But we had 355 humans gather with us on this past Sunday, which is just
incredible.
Crazy. Yeah. Like, super fun. If you're curious about how we are calculating that, by the way, like, because there are folks that stick around from the 9 a.m. to the 10:45, the band, and whoever's preaching, and, you know, there's Kayville folks that were serving, and then they stick around for the all of that stuff. We basically take the total between the two gatherings, and we have been subtracting 30 from that. We think that's a pretty rough, fair estimate of how much overlap there might be of folks sticking around for both gatherings on a Sunday. So, yeah, some Sundays that's going to be more, and some Sundays it's going to be less, but that's our simple formula.
Yeah, so by counting, there were 385
yeah, total between two gatherings, yeah.
Yeah, and then we subtract 30, and it's like, oh, right. So unique individuals on a Sunday, 355 or whatever
it was. Right. So Michael doesn't count as two people, and no. Matt doesn't count as two. You know what I mean? So that kind of stuff. So we try to account for it that way. And even Kia kind of tossed out this metric, looking at church center metrics, like on planning center, whenever folks fill out a Connect card or they check into Kayville, the kids for the first time, or whatever, they want to join a group or whatnot, they create a profile in Planning Center. A profile is created for them. And so that's like a way to look at activity, new life as well. And over the last 6 months, we've had 81 new profiles created. That does not include profiles that are like now inactive or folks who have reached out for benevolence from like the community outside. That's 81 profiles we've had. More than half of those have been made since we moved to two gatherings, and like that's having not met for like three of those Sundays since then because of Christmas and then the two snow days that we've had. And so just really encouraging there too. And then when we look at like the numbers that for us kind of matter the most, we look at baptisms. We've gotten to baptize six people since our last family meeting. We haven't added any new members. We're still at 159. We haven't added any new members since because we had to cancel the last Village Gate. We used to have Connect Months three times a year. I'll talk about that in a minute. But there's always one that seems to, like one of those, we don't seem to have as much interest for a Village Gate. So we didn't have a Village Gate since our last family meeting. But a reminder to those of you who are members, just to do that membership renewal mm-hmm. that we've been bugging you about. So just a little plug for that as well. A couple other numbers that really matter to us in terms of people staying connected, not just showing up on Sunday, but actually connecting with us. We have 178 people connected to our teams here at the Village, which is an increase since last time. And groups, very similar. We have an increase of folks. We have 185 people who are connected to a community group, which is just, that's super encouraging and super fun. Both of those numbers have gone up. So as folks have come on Sundays, folks have also been connecting to kind of the community and the mission, which is what we want them to do, what we say every single Sunday. So I do want to hit on that Connect Month piece. So we are, instead of doing baptisms and membership stuff three times a year, we're moving Connect Month to two times a year. So in March and in September, we will have opportunities for folks to pursue baptism if they're new to Jesus, and then folks opportunities to pursue membership if they're new to the church but want to connect and like really make this their church home. So Village Gates, Baptism Basics, Baptism Sundays, all that stuff will happen on those 2 months. And one addition, we're doing two Connect Months instead of three. We're actually adding in Next Step huddles every month. So we used to do an I'm New Here huddle on those Connect Months where, hey, if you're new, come, stick around after a Sunday, Love to answer questions, get you connected or whatever. We're going to do next step huddles at the end of every month that tie to our monthly emphasis. So servant life or community life or whatever, just to invite folks to like in person, face to face. Hey, if you want to join a group, if you want to join a team, if you want to learn about giving or Global Go stuff or whatever, come after like the last gathering of the month and stick around. We'd love to chat with you, help you like get connected to one of those teams or groups, answer questions, whatever. So we're like increasing the number of touch points and invitations that we have for folks to get connected. So those are just a couple of tweaks that we're making in order to help people get connected when they do show up on Sunday mornings. So I know there's a lot of numbers overall, like really encouraged. You guys have thoughts or commentary on any of that stuff?
Yeah, we're just encouraged. Right? It's a blessing to see stuff. And like Scott, you always do a good job kind of putting this in context, but we are not all about numbers, but numbers is a sign of health and life and growth. And we want more people to hear about Jesus, and we want to connect people with relationships inside of community groups. And so, man, as we track these things, it is just hopefully to assess how things are going, obviously in light of two gatherings, but also just be mindful of, but how are we doing? Are we healthy? And are the things that we set out to do with relationships and plugging people into the right areas, is it working? So that's really helpful.
Yeah, I think that those are like the objective, numerically driven, hey, these are like, this is the data. But the subjective side of things is really encouraging as well. It's just like that 9 o'clock has been, like when we first started, it was substantially lower. And so it was like, oh gosh. But then the 10:45 felt like it was... feels like a normal gathering. We obviously took a few chairs out or whatever, but that has filled in the last like 3 or 4 weeks. And it's just felt like, gosh, this is like each gathering feels like, oh, it's nice if this was it. But then also we've already done this once or we're getting ready to do it again. And so, and then also just like those numbers, you referenced Kia talking about Church Center, Planning Center, profiles and all that stuff. Like those are like real people. Those are not bots. Those are real people. Connecting and just in part of what I get to do on the front end of helping connect people and whatever, like there's just a ton of newer families connecting in group and serving and just being around, which is just really encouraging.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. The, two thoughts. One is when we're looking at the kind of increased attendance on Sunday, that is across both gatherings. So we're seeing, again, you'll be able to see this if you look at the slides on the website or at the family meeting, but the increase isn't just total and the 10:45 is skyrocketing and the 9 a.m. is like dwindling or whatever. It's both gatherings are increasing, and which is just encouraging. More folks are coming to both gatherings, which is really cool. And then, to like the connection point and new people coming in or whatever. I met with some group leaders yesterday and they were talking about a new family that had been connecting, and I was like, hey, like, tell me about them. I've met them. I've talked to them, but you've probably had more surface area than I have. And so, which is encouraging in a sense that it's like, oh, folks are getting plugged in. They're being invited. You guys are being hospitable and making those connections happen. And at the same time, I would just encourage you, those of you who are like, I don't know, however you might be feeling about the church continuing to get bigger, the way that you get to make the church still feel familial and communal is you just get to talk to people. Like, that's what makes the church feel smaller is when you get to know people. And so, just an encouragement, if there are new folks and you don't know who they are, just introduce yourself and say, hey, and hey, are you connected somewhere? Where are you connected? Can I help you get connected? As Kim would say, we're all in connections. And so, just a little plug for that.
I mean, just one note. I was talking to a newer family, like, in front of the door as we were getting ready to leave or whatever. And, like, Liz Knudsen, if you know Liz, she's not very shy. And so, she just walked up and she's like, hey, like, you guys should come to our group. And like, and so like, it can feel like you're the intimidated one because like, oh, I don't know these people. I would just say like, it's probably more intimidating to be the one that doesn't know anyone in the room. Yeah. So like, if you've been around for a while, like just talk to people. Like, we're not introducing passing the peace or anything back into the liturgy.
Not this week. Don't make us do it.
But like, just talk to people. That's just an easy outlet to do that. And the second thing is on the two gatherings piece in particular, like each of us are in lots of church center groups. And so we know when the team is struggling to like have, hey, I need somebody to cover the second gathering or whatever. And so it's just been really encouraging. I know that's more for many people who bear weight, but for those who have just stepped up and said, yeah, I'll stay. I don't mind to stay and cover whatever. And so we know that there's like, we get it, that there's an increased burden. I've read many of your membership renewal things, and it's like so many people are like, no, it's been okay, and we get it. And it's like, logistically, we're trying to set boundaries for our families and whatever. And so we get it, but also we're really thankful that people are just
absolutely
raising their hand and hopping in and saying, yeah, I'll fill in for you and Kayville or whatever it is. So thanks for that.
Which is the encouraging part of seeing people getting connected in groups and teams. Yep. That's our hope, is that more folks would serve as more folks come to alleviate some of that. I like phrasing it at the beginning. The question is, are two gatherings working? Is it worth it? Which is like a bit of a loaded question. We wanted to make room for more people to come, and that's clearly happening. And so like, more folks are showing up. And is that good? Well, I don't know. Is it? Maybe. It's good that people are showing up. It's not good if more people are showing up, but like everyone who's already been here is on fire and feels like they're dying.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's been the case, which we're really encouraged by. And if that was the case, we would pivot and do something differently. But really encouraged by, like Michael said, the fact the folks are stepping up and helping, and also the fact that you guys are inviting folks into community and mission, those who are coming around. And so that is good. That is encouraging. I wanted to ask you, both of you, this is nothing that we probably have time for on Sunday. What is it like preaching twice on Sunday?
I mean, I didn't prepare for this, Scott.
I know.
It's no prepared for that.
I think we did it on, Easter 2025 was the first time we did two gatherings. And I remember thinking like, that felt like way more normal than I thought. Because I thought it would be like, and we had 45 minutes between gatherings then, and now we only have 30, I think. Is that right? Anyway, it just has felt like normal, and the day flies by, and it's exhausting and whatever, but it's fun a little bit. When I'm preaching the second gathering, I'm like, I'm mindful of what I said, and most of my notes are pretty locked in, but like, it's just funny. Like, I'm aware of what I said and who's in the room and who's in the room again. And like, so it's given a little bit of freedom to like, be a little loose with things. But by and large, I mean, it's fast. It's just really fast. It kind of, the day flies by, and I'm thankful like Kim doesn't have to, but she goes to both gatherings, and she's just not just supporting me, but supporting the village in a way. And so it's been sweet for our family. And
absolutely.
What about you, Matt, for like when you're leading band or doing stuff on Sunday, what's it been like for you?
It is a blur. It's fun. I honestly think of Sundays as a celebration of kind of effort and work and all that goes into it, throughout the week. And so Sundays for me is, busy. We get here largely around 7:30, here till 1, oftentimes a little later. But in regards to a set of music or the practice in the morning, things do fly by, but it is really enjoyable. I'll speak for me. I don't want to speak for every band member. I do know for some it is definitely more work and more time, but largely, the first set, I want you to know, if you're listening, we never view that as a practice. It's not like the first gathering, the 9 o'clock is like, well, let's see what we got, and then we'll tighten things up for the live stream on the second gathering and for the bigger congregation or the bigger gathering. But we do love both. In regards to just like worshiping through song and through scripture, we are able to do that. We don't view this as a task, but it is an opportunity to worship God twice as much with the group of people that we're with, and that has been a blessing. For me, I seriously mean this. This is not just because I'm on staff. I get to like hear Michael's message twice, and it seeps in more, and it's been really healthy for me. But in regards to the band stuff, Scott, which was your question, it's been fun. I do feel, I think, a little more tired after I leave here at 1 or 1:30 than I did when we just had one gathering. But it's a joy, and I think the band, I just want to thank them, and I'll talk more about that later. They've stepped up really well, and overall, it's been a really good experience.
Yeah. That's cool.
And for you, Scott?
Oh, yeah. It's an earlier Sunday, and I'm not a morning person. So, but it's been good. Because I'm, thank God, not on the band. And I don't preach most Sundays. Like, what I found is, poor Matt, we try to do like a pre-huddle before both gatherings.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one before the 9 a.m. always happens. But then there's, like, the one in the middle before the 10:45 that's, like, never happens because folks are scattered and doing stuff. Yeah. And so I hate that. But also, like, the reason I'm never there is because I'm usually talking to somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so I think I've had more overlap and opportunities to have, like, not just, hey, how you doings, but, like, some substantial conversations, yep, like before the 9 a.m., in between the 9 and the 10:45, and then after the 10:45. So I know that is not everyone's experience because most people probably aren't sticking around for both gatherings. But for me, like, I've had an opportunity, I think, to connect with more people on a, like, more meaningful mm-hmm. level on Sunday mornings than before, which is just a fun little thing that I wasn't expecting, but I've gotten to enjoy.
I second that. I mean, it's crazy. I don't know why. I mean, I guess you just have people getting there and leaving twice. And so you have that. But yeah, sometimes I'll start talking to someone between the gatherings and I'm like, wait, are you just getting here? Are you leaving? Like, and like, oh, we're leaving or we're just getting here. And so, yeah, it has felt like there's a whole lot more overlap of just interaction, which is good.
Yeah, it's great.
Absolutely.
I'll let Katie's going to share a little bit about Kville stuff, actually at the family meeting, but just to hit on a couple things I know that she will say, in terms of Kville and what that's been like on Sundays for her and for her team, you know, Kville was like actually the bigger pinch in terms of space before we moved to two gatherings. And so like, it has been, I think, a relief for the teachers that are back there. Obviously, like, there's now more times that have to be served, but also the classrooms are smaller, which just allows them to be able to give more attention and manage those classrooms and teach those kids. And it creates a different kind of environment for those kids, which is really good. So that's been an encouragement. But then also, yeah, seeing the fact that there have been so many kids connecting there, there's no way that we would have had to close the classrooms this past Sunday if we only had one gathering with that many people. Like, we would not have been able to take all those kids. So the fact that we did move to two gatherings and there are two opportunities for kids to show up and it's pretty well split and balanced between the two, it's been really good and helpful.
Yep.
And so, yeah. So just encouragement there all along that. So, yeah. Any other thoughts on two gatherings before we talk about money and all the things?
I don't think so.
Cool. Good. All right, sweet. So I'll turn it over to you, Matt. Finances, facility, all those fun things.
Sounds really good. Yeah. Always am mindful of, some of you have listened to these for maybe 10 to 15 years, and I don't want to be boring and repeat the same stuff. I'm also mindful that maybe some of you are hearing this for the very first time, as we have had a lot of new people. And so I try to hit on some things that maybe I wouldn't talk about in the family meeting on Sunday, but just for structure briefly, if you don't know, the church is led and served by elders. And so they are over everything. Obviously that includes the finances. I am the elder that most directly gets to help with the money and have oversight over that. We have a deacon named Chad Richards, who is like the leader of the finance team. We have a finance team as well that helps, and we meet once a month. And then we also have an outside the organization accountant that puts eyes on things, puts out reports, is available for, able to give advice. They do payroll and stuff like that. And I say this not to bore you, but to let you know that there is intentionality in our finances. There is structure in place, so one person is not the only person doing everything, and we want you to know that that also leads to accountability as more eyes are on it, and there's an outside person and elders and a team and me as well. And so I hope that's helpful. Starting to talk about that more, but also I don't want to bore anyone, but man, there's intentionality there. I hope that helps. As we look back to 2025, I'll share some of this on Sunday, but our goal, our budget for 2025 was to bring in $468,000. That's equivalent to $39,000 a month. And we know there's averages and give and take, and some months will be better. But that would be the goal if we spread it out over the year. By God's grace, we received around $490,000, which was a total blessing. And I say around because how you track it, there are fees that maybe our accountant adds in there that is giving. But when I do some stuff, I'm not counting those fees. But we're right around $490,000. And that's by God's grace. And so, first of all, thank you for being generous. Thank you for being intentional with giving, and we praise God, obviously, for sustaining our church financially. A couple of things for context is that we're doing well then. So we made budget, and that's a cause for help, and we're thankful for that. But here's the kind of a little bit of a caveat catch, is that a lot of these numbers were sustained by maybe bigger gifts. We're seeing a trend to where maybe a core of our members are giving less or are not giving at all. And I'll talk about a statistic in just a second. And that's leading to less money coming in over the course of the year, but we're getting bigger one-time gifts in that have allowed us to actually make budget and exceed budget in a good way. The number I want to throw out is 24.7% of our member units haven't given anything in almost the last 5 months. And I'm pulling that from October of last year through February. And so that could adjust if a couple of those people in that number decide to give in the next week of February. But largely that's the goal. Is 5 months is a big period of time. And a quarter of our members not giving is a concern. And so as much as we are thankful that we have made budget, we have money in the bank, and nothing's on fire, we also are mindful that, man, that doesn't feel healthy that about 25% of our members are not giving in the last 5 months anything.
When you say member unit, you explain what you mean when you say that?
That is not like, so this is just a random family. I'll use myself. That's not, a member unit is not me and Tammy. A member unit is like our family. And so certainly there are individuals that are not married in the church, and they would be one member unit as much as a family is a member unit. So Rick and Faye, as an example, they are one member unit that give. Obviously, if you're an individual, like I'll use Ryan McClure, he is one member unit. And so 24.7% of our member units, that's what we're talking about.
I just want to make sure. It's like, are you talking about robots or whatever?
Oh, no, that's really good. I
just want to make sure
that
folks know. I know what you mean by that. I just want to make sure
That's a good question, Scott.
Robot member units.
Got it. And so we understand. We are not heartless. We understand that maybe there is inflation going on and there are external reasons legitimately why people are unable to give. Also, there are families that maybe have not been intentional with this, and our ask humbly is that you get to consider how God has been generous to you. Giving is a part of discipleship, and that's what God calls us to do. And so in the meeting on Sunday, we'll probably talk about maybe sending an email, a kind email, referencing a couple things, reminding you that maybe, hey, love for you to consider what this might look like for you to honor God in this way, all in good taste, all with the heart of helping us to love the Lord and respond to Him in all the ways that He's been generous to us. I'll stop there for 2025 and some of those trends. For 2026, our budget goal is $480,000. So it's about the smallest we've increased our budget. That's an increase from last year to this year of about 2.5%. The main purpose of that is because last year we felt like we were living paycheck to paycheck in a sense, and that didn't feel healthy for us. And so as much as there is inflation and raises and stuff, we really tried to minimize those things. And so the staff, we got a 2% raise, which we're thankful for, but that's one of the smaller raises that we've received. We're trying to be mindful of this. And we hope that this year we might be able to kind of get ahead of some of these things, not live as much paycheck to paycheck in the sense. And so we're going to be mindful of how we get to, what does 2026 hold for us? And again, the purpose is not to just hoard money, but the purpose is to say, man, like we are saving for potentially a building or a staff member or something. And so at last year, we did not have those extra resources in the general budget to do that. And that doesn't feel healthy to us. And so as we grow, we do know that there will be needs coming up sooner than later that we want to be able to fund. And this year is kind of setting us up to maybe fund some of those needs that we might not even know exactly what they look like yet. Last thing on this is that, there's some practical components to the gospel working in you. And we care about this a ton. We are mindful of you. I'll lead into some benevolent stuff maybe. Would that be helpful, Scott, to just kind of land there? Or do you guys want to speak to anything with the finances real quick?
I mean, I'm grateful for the finance team and just their, the way that you guys plan and look at stuff and the heart behind stuff, mm-hmm. but also like, hey, we're not just living on a prayer, planning a budget by only faith, but it's a combination of trusting that the Lord provides and also knowing that there's work to be done and all of that stuff. It's just, I'm just really grateful for the way you guys lead us in that. In terms of the disparity, we get to celebrate, as you said, Matt, the fact that there's God has provided.
Yeah.
We know that the church is not special and we are not shielded from, impact on economy stuff and job stuff and furloughs and all the other things that were going on and have been going on and will continue to go on, inflation and all the things or whatever. And so we know that we're not insulated from that. And so we're grateful that those who do have the ability to give more have done that. That's really sweet. And also man, like Matt said, if you guys need help, if there are folks, you find yourself in a position where you are among the ones who are like being tightly squeezed, we would love to like help you out with that. Yeah. And maybe you just didn't know that your credit card expired and you don't know that you've not been giving. Or maybe like you've intentionally not been because you're just trying to make ends meet and you're living paycheck to paycheck. We feel that. And so, yeah, to Matt's point earlier, like probably follow up from this family meeting with an email to those who have not given, those members who haven't given for a while. And that's not a condemnation or a
smack on the hand.
Like, any of that stuff at all. It's just a, hey, like that tells us something and we don't know what that is, but we want to step in and help if we can. Yeah. And if that's just a, hey, you want to give, but you just don't know that you haven't been giving, we want to let you know that too, so that you can. So we do not want to plan a budget or live off of just random big gifts. That's not the way I know that you want to probably operate your family budget. It's not the way that we want to operate, you know, our church budget. We would love to have like more of those smaller, regular, and not the big things, but that is not us being ungrateful for the way God has provided over this past year. Yeah. So yeah,
absolutely. We're incredibly grateful for those bigger one-time gifts. Those are necessary. And for context, we talked about the 24.7% this year, not having given in the last 5 months. For context, last year, there was a statistic that I shared in the last meeting that was around 16% of the members had given. And so you can see how that's kind of maybe increased.
That's good.
To be mindful of that concern there. And so we're not trying to, everyone, we understand that probably we'll never get 100% of participation because of the needs that are legit. But also we do feel like this number is increasing in a way that's not healthy.
Right.
So.
Correct. Yeah.
There are 159 members. Mm-hmm. You know, you explained member units. And so that's a significant difference, whatever the reason is.
Yeah, that's good. Cool. Yeah, you want to talk about benevolence?
Absolutely. So, yeah. Really excited about this. We've always had benevolence to some degree here at the church. We're mindful of those needs around us for members, for attendees, for even the occasional walk-in. But this last year, we've really taken a step forward in maturing what benevolence looks like and providing structure and longevity to this process. And so I get to help oversee some of that as well, but Tyler Lang is the servant leader of the benevolence team. We have a benevolence team that is active and kind of assessing some of those needs. We have redone fully our benevolence policy, which is certainly, we've had one, but it's always felt like the needs that always pop in kind of go against whatever we then decide. And this year, we feel like we've landed on something and even tweaked it a couple times this year in a way that is like, okay, this is a tool that is appropriate for the size of church that we have, with the budget we have, for the team that we have, for the needs that are coming in. Mm-hmm. And so that is the celebration there for sure. We probably right now are receiving, Tyler will know more about this, but around 3 requests a month. And that is like a lot more than we've had any other year. Last year, for some numbers, if you're interested, from 2020 to about 2024, we've averaged giving away in benevolence around $4,500 per year. That gives and takes, but that's an average. For context, in 2025, we gave away almost $14,000. So you can imagine, with the benevolence policy that we put in place, with the team, we put a form on the website where people can apply, and we've tried to make that public. We're not trying to hide from the needs. We want to, for you, if you have a legitimate need, to know where to go and to be able to receive the help you have. One thing with that $14,000 is a couple of people have given significant gifts to that fund, which have allowed us to be even more generous, which I will say that that's not just Village funds that we've allotted. Our budgets, our benevolence budget is not $14,000. But because of some of the generosity that has come into that specific fund over and above the normal giving, we have been able to be more generous to legitimate needs. Mm-hmm. There's a vetting process that Tyler and the team go through. And this year alone, we're trying to maybe pull that back just a little bit, that $14,000. But what we think we will be able to give or help, not give away, that sounds like a thing, but how we will be able to invest into families with legitimate needs is somewhere between $8,000 to $10,000. And so we want to be generous. We know that God has been really kind to us. And so those are some of the ways that we've tried to serve the church, maybe behind the scenes, because we don't highlight those needs. Obviously, they're private needs, and we don't blast those out. But we do want you to know that we are mindful of this policy. We are mindful of those needs. And we do try to weight the money we give away in regard to member and attendee and then walk-in. The member in our church, we will be giving more away to them because they are our family, right? Mm-hmm. They are in and invested, and we care about that. We also care about the walk-in. The new person has maybe been here between 1 and 6 weeks. We do care for them. They are around, and we do care about certainly the walk-in. That might be the random person that we don't know that stumbles across our website and asks for money. We have helped those types of individuals that have legitimate needs, but we do weight it less for that. Just if you have kind of questions around that, we can talk more about it, but I think I'll stop there. But any questions or comments in regards to that benevolence process?
Well, I would say, like, it's funny because you hear the word benevolence in relation to kings. He was a benevolent king, yeah. Or in the church. And so if you've never heard that word before, mm-hmm. like, that is what basically churches call, like, that fun. The definition of benevolence is the disposition to do good, characterized by kindness and generosity. Yep. And so that really is what that is. It's money set aside to give it away, to care for. And I love that there's rungs of, percentages that reveal proximity and care. And yeah, we would love to give all the money to everybody, but we can't. And we say God has unlimited resources, but the church has limited resources.
Yep.
And so this is what I would say. Like, it is one of the hardest things to policy, as you referenced.
Yeah.
But it's also one of the hardest things to execute because it's always it's not regular. It's not something, hey, Monday I'm going to deal with, because it's as needed. Someone can fill out the form on Tuesday or a Thursday when we're getting ready to leave the office from not supposed to be in on Friday and all that stuff. And so the team to execute that is, like, so important, because over the years it can just be weighty. And it's, I'm not saying it's like, oh, it is inconvenient. But that type of ministry is inconvenient. It's inconvenient to those who are experiencing the need, and it's inconvenient to those that are trying to help with that need. And so just the team, you, Matt, Tyler, and others that have been around to help with that stuff is huge.
And that's, I just want to highlight that too. It's not just dollars that are going out and, we have a form and a process and click a couple things and whatever. It's like, no, it's like calling someone. It's time spent with that person. Yep. It's praying with them. It's hearing what's going on. It's, hey, are there other ways that we can help you?
That's
really true. Do you have a church community? Or if you're part of this one, like, how can we invite other people into that? So it's not just like, let's write a check to this need. It is so much more than that, which, again, that team enables, us to be able to give more time to those things. But it's a really sweet thing. Like, I know there have been years where it's like, we would love to give and do more benevolence stuff, but it's like, where is that? And so that, just the form, the process, the team, all that stuff has been a gift, and that jump in what we're able to, it's super cool. It's what we want to do. And yeah, a thing that hopefully, if you're hearing this, like, you are celebrating the fact that we have been able to be more generous, and hopefully this year continue to do that as well. So
one last thing with that, Scott, and you kind of alluded to it, is sometimes we aren't able to help, or maybe feel like the need that probably is legit, it's maybe outside of our scope, but Tyler and the team have done a great job kind of bringing together resources and tools and links, so that even if there's a need that we say, man, I don't think this fits what we're trying to do, we are able to still provide help and point them to resources. And so that's been a really good thing as well.
Matt, is the benevolence policy a thing that we could put on the family meeting?
Yeah,
thing?
Right. Do.
So
yeah.
I'll put a link to the benevolence policy. So if you're curious about what those categories are, or thresholds, right, or how we're trying to, like, organize and steward that process and those dollars, then I can throw that on the website for you guys to look at. So cool. Anything else money related before facilities?
Nothing comes to mind right now. Certainly something that come up on Sunday, but yeah, I think that covers a lot of it.
Cool. What's up with building stuff?
So the news for the building is that there is no news, which is news, because for so many years we've scheduled a flood, or we have had a renovation, or we some big thing in Kayville, or the building, or tearing down stuff in the huddle room, or the offices, or there's always been a thing. And this year, as of now, as far as we know, I will say, we have not scheduled any major projects. I say that with the caveat that we have a maintenance team that has been really good. We are adding doors here or new things, fixing stuff all the time. And so ongoing maintenance is always happening. We are spending money because we want to keep this place up to date and healthy, and we're evolving as our church grows. But to let you know about a facility update, we do not have any big projects. And also, even in regards to facility update, we do not have a outside building on the radar as of now either. Last year and years before, we've probably looked at multiple buildings multiple times, and that's still a thing. But there is nothing urgent or, you know, on our radar that is that we're like seriously contending with right now. We do rent our space. If you are hearing this maybe for the first time, we do have a maintenance team, like I said, and a clean team that really help to maintain and keep up what we're doing. And I want to let you know, as we grow in number, the building is used a ton. And so that is costing more, even though we rent and have a really good rent price, to keep up. I mean, almost every night of the week, we probably have something here, whether it's a community group meeting here, a band practice, a Young Lives meeting, a team working here, Sunday gatherings, gospel eldership on stuff. We have prayer nights and video nights for children. And it's so, there's so much happening. And so it is increasing our cost. And so this year it's nice to be able to just increase some of those budgets without having a big project on the radar and stuff like that. One last thing with that, and then I want to turn it over to you guys, but we are mindful of like the tech side of things. And so as much as we're maybe not like installing new doors and windows and painting ceilings, there is also, when we talk about like facility update, we are mindful of more of the tech side of things now that we have our structure in place and we're not busting out walls. We've done kind of as much as we can, but we're mindful of how does the tech get to grow with us, meet the needs that we have, and even some of the new needs that we have in light of where we are as a church. So anything from you guys in light of any of that?
You mean fog and laser lights?
No. That's it. Yeah, those things will be coming next Sunday after the family meeting. Yeah. JK, that's not happening at all.
Yeah, I don't have anything there. I mean, I think some of those tech things are like stuff in Cable. I know we've added like tablets or whatever for, you know, check out and check in to know who's supposed to be in your classroom and not. And stuff like that. I don't know if there's anything else notable.
Yeah, so we are always doing some stuff with that. So yeah, Kville is updating. We have like iPads in the classroom to help even like see who's supposed to be there, check in, check out. Certainly Kia and Kate have been doing a great job in the Kville foyer with, you know, label printing and checking in. We're trying to make sure those processes are good. You might need to see new TVs around here in the main foyer of like what's coming up and stuff like that. And we will be doing things even in like the storage area where that's kind of a dump right now and just a catch-all. But we have plans to put shelves there and to organize and to make it so teams have spots. So there's always stuff happening.
Yeah.
In light of even the office stuff, we don't have a system maybe of like updating laptops or tablets and stuff like that. And so we're mindful of, hey, we probably need to do that at some point, as well as all the teams that are using it. Like we just had a meeting with the live stream team and there's some tech there that we might want to do, or there's stuff on the stage. And so there's always needs. So when we talk about facility, certainly walls and paint is a thing, but also there is a tech side, which we really want to invest in. I'll lean into maybe a little bit more.
It's great.
Cool.
Thanks, Matt. I want to chat about the theme for the year, which is grow together. Because there's some stuff. I mean, we did a series at the beginning of the year, but that is kind of things that we are doing throughout the year that are tied to that specifically that we're trying to push forward there. So, Michael, do you want to share some of those things?
Yeah, I mean, the theme we hit on at the beginning of the year was basically growing in knowledge of God together, growing in, you know, investment alongside others, and growing in equipping as well. And so, like, the idea is, like, man, that we can just be intentional about the things that we're doing and literally, as simple as it is, like, grow together in both depth and width. And so, one of the things that a church plant that's, you know, 15 minutes old or that's 15 years old, they're always trying to figure out is like, how are we making disciples? Like most churches, even not great churches are trying to make disciples. And there's like a shift on like, man, lots of liberty in what that actually looks like. But in some way, it's probably content and then connecting people to that content. And it's not just like growing bigger brains, but it's letting that knowledge of who God is shape our hearts and change the way that we live. And so for us, one of the things that I love so much is that we do have a high discipleship culture. Like there are people outside of anything that the three of us or anybody else is doing that are growing in knowledge, that they're in their Bibles, they can rightly handle the Word of God, and that they invite others into that. And that's happening. I mean, you look at, especially early on, so many of the people who are involved in Crew or Navigators or Young Life that, like, you know, those I mean, there are good things and bad things from those peer churches, but one of the things that they often get right is like disciple making and one-on-one relationships. And so, like, yeah, if you go to True West throughout the week, you're going to see people with the Bible open in front of them, their lives open, and that's just really great. And so it doesn't have to look like that. You don't have to have coffee while you're discipling someone. You could be changing, you know, brake pads. You could be doing a lot of things. And that's what's so cool, that all that stuff, it happens a lot. Mm-hmm. It's what makes preaching really hard. I think Matt and I said this past week, like, I don't think that leading a church is that hard. I think leading a church well is what's hard. And it's like, we could sit around and not do anything, and you guys wouldn't know that for a while. Eventually you would find out. But it's like the things that we try to do to not just push things forward to be bigger, better, faster, stronger, but like the things that we want to continue to check in on. And it's why we have leader reflections with deacons, and it's why we commission every year, and it's why we do so much that we do, because we want to do that faithfully. These men hold me accountable to that. The staff around here hold me accountable to that. My family holds me accountable. I don't want to be an imposter when I'm talking about what, a spiritual life should look like when I'm preaching, if that doesn't show up in my home. So I say all that to say, one of the things that I love is the high level of discipleship culture we have already. And what we want to do is make sure that we're not just resting on that, but we want to offer some formalized structure to help make sure that we're carrying out really the question of, hey, like, I want to be discipled. How can that happen? And hey, I'm willing to disciple. How can that happen? Mm-hmm. And while every discipling relationship is going to be both, like, you know, beneficial both ways, it's not just top down, one to the other downloading and the other just not benefiting. We want to make sure that those things happen. So just super quickly, the idea is, in a pathway or a pipeline, is that we want to have something for new believers, something for new members and existing members, something for leaders, both in like the team and ministry side of things and in the group leader side of things. And we want to have something for those that might be exploring like the idea of church planting or a residency at a church, or like Tyler is going to be a, what's he going
with? Chaplain.
Yeah. So he's pursuing chaplainship. And so it's been awesome to have him around, but we want to be able to develop at every level in both content and connections for that to show up through outlets. And so for new believers, that's baptism basics on the front end before they're even baptized. We want to let someone know what is required, what type of faith is required to even be baptized. And then for new believers, we have a resource that we've kind of shared here and there called Foundations. And it's not everything, but it's really helpful. And it's robust enough to where if you didn't know anything about Jesus or about the church or about the Holy Spirit or about some like even weightier theological things or the mission or any of those things, that if you sat down, you open your Bible, and you sat across from someone and you just asked some questions around this content, it would give you some legs to stand on, some foundations to build upon. And then on the leader side of things, we've been trying to diffuse a lot of what we do. And so, you know, we don't have too many, hey, come to the 210 at this time and we're going to have a class for 50 people and one person's going to teach it. It's more so we want to empower people to teach as they go and as they do what they do. And so we want to empower leaders to invest in new leaders. We want to empower group leaders to invite and invest in potential group leaders and new group leaders. And we want to empower members to invest in and invite new members to just do the things that they do. And so we kind of developed for each of those things three conversations, one for members, one for team leaders, and one for group leaders. And so where all this meets you is, we may ask you at some point, hey, you're a member, you've been around here, would you have any interest in just reading over this material, reading a few scriptures, asking a few questions of new members? Man, you can meet between gatherings, or you can meet after, or whatever. Maybe it's a Tuesday phone call, but just basically inviting new members in so that new members of the village, whether they're mature in their faith or not, know that we value discipleship. So they get to be discipled, maybe by you, very early on in their connection to the village. And then, again, on the back end of all of that, like, what does it look like to multiply church plants, church planters, and invest in? And so we're going to do something. I think that we sort of landed today. Tyler and I chatted. But May, June, July, we're going to have a theology masterclass that's basically just a video-driven opportunity to grow in the basics of some systematic theology, self-study, and then we will get together six times. And that will be like on video on like Monday evenings, May, June, July, two times each month, and grow together. So basically that path is, man, if I don't know anything about Jesus, there's something for you. And if you've been walking with Jesus for 15 years and you're like, man, I'm really eager to dig in, we have something for you as well.
So. That's amazing.
That's great. I mean, yeah, the heart is like you said, it's not that any of those things are everything for who, but it's, if you're approaching the edge of the woods and you're like, I want to figure out something, instead of just showing up and there's no clear path forward, there is a trail to get you started in any of that stuff. And so that's what all of those things are, which, you know, like that like helps us breathe easier and helps us hand you things or hands, whatever, like invite people into something very tangible, very practical to get folks started on, you know, whatever it looks like for their next step to, you know, follow Jesus. So excited about
that. Yeah. And Scott, do you want to speak to some of the resource stuff that you build out? I can't remember if we talked about that 6 months ago or maybe it wasn't available then, but
no, I think we did. Yeah. So there's a crap ton of stuff on the website. If you go to myvillagechurch.com/learn, there's lots of resources there. Or if you go to myvillagechurch.com/follow, that's the page where a lot of that stuff actually lives. But there's just resources if you are somebody who's just getting started following Jesus, or if you want to grow in your knowledge, like you want to get deeper into study, or there's an area of your life that you want to, like, you know, just personal devotions, or, you know, I don't know, like suffering, healing in something, or you want to figure out what it looks like to share the gospel. Like, how can I be more on mission for the Lord? I want to learn what it looks like to share the gospel with people or know my neighbor. Like, there's categories that you hop in there, buckets of stuff, and there's lots of resources there, books, podcasts, whatever, all kinds of things there that if you are curious about a particular area and growing in that, there's probably something there to at least get you started. You go to an Amazon, you know, book link, and there might be a related book that you think is more interesting, but it will get you started down that path. So all that stuff is there, and it's there to kind of come alongside of what Graham's talking about, of just having things to offer you if you're raising your hand saying, I want to learn more about this, I want to grow in this area. So all that's available on the website. You can take a look at that whenever you want. So awesome.
Yeah, I mean, some of that will the thing that's not formalized is like, how are we bridging that connection between, other than like, hey, just do it, just ask someone, just find a resource, just whatever, but like trying to create an actual like on-ramp per se, or like a next step for like, I want to be discipled or I want to grow in that. So the first thing we would say, connect to a group. That's like the thing. And so a lot of that, those connections will be made through your community group. And so if you're in a community group, maybe you're a community group leader, or if you're like just connecting to one, you might be the outlet. And every group leader doesn't have the margin to like disciple every person in the group.
Yeah.
But you might be the one that's like, man, I know enough and I've been around and I've just been, I don't really know. And so we're trying to just say, no, you can do it. You can do it. And here's a resource. Man, pray together, open this thing up, open up your life a little bit and lean in. We're trying to equip you and empower you to take that next step. And so, yeah, it's really, really exciting.
It's cool. Graham, you want to talk a little bit more? I mean, you talked about the masterclass. Folks can learn and grow in their theological acumen. We're also trying to bring some clarity theologically to different rungs of the church. And so do you want to speak to that as well?
Yeah. I mean, I want to say it's probably 4 or 5 months on where we like had in an elders meeting, a conversation about like, gosh, we have, you know, on our doctrinal statements as a church, and Scott does a great job with all the content online and all that stuff, but we have stuff and we have documents floating around, surprise, surprise. But it's like the cultural moment, maybe I would say, is it really has put a high level of tension and strain just in the church, period. And this one is not exempt from that. And so I think that's probably where that started, is just like, gosh, we just need to make sure two things. One, that while we have confidence in our current eldership and our current membership, we won't be current forever.
Yeah.
And so what does it look like to look forward and to make sure we're preserving the work that the Spirit's allowing us to be a part of here? But in doing that, we also have to look backward and say, well, man, what have been the pillars that have upheld orthodoxy within the church, you know, for the last 2,000 years? And so kind of like in that vein of thought, we kind of just started writing some stuff down, and we had a really confusing amalgamation of doctrines. And then from that, there's this idea called, you know, theological triage, and just this idea that not everything matters in the same weight. And so what weight does matter? And what is it like, what must an elder believe to be an elder? And what must a member believe to be a member? And what must a believer believe to be a believer? And kind of just putting all that down to bring some clarity on the cultural side, but more so on the theological side. And so essentially there are four categories that kind of have come out of that. Essentials, those things for essential for membership. Distinctives, those things essential for leadership. That, man, it might be a challenge for you if you don't kind of align in these things to lead within this church. And we know that's drawing a line, and that's like a thing, but it's a line that we would rather draw on the front end rather than fight about it on the back end. And then persuasions, there's a load of diversity in what members and leaders can believe. There was someone this week who asked me about a doctrinal thing, comes from a different kind of church background, and was like, yeah, I really like a lot of what you guys are about. Like, what about this doctrine, and where could I fit in there? Mm. And it's like, dude, that's really great.
Yeah.
Hey, we're actually working on processing some of that. And then there's liberties. And so I could talk about all those things. Scott kind of refined all of the elders' thoughts in a pretty, I think, clear document that helped just bring clarity to, like, what do we actually think about X, Y, or Z? And rather than saying in Village Gate, we say, we have open-handed, we have closed-handed issues. Do you pass out candy on Halloween? I don't know. Do you drink alcohol? Do you whatever? And so we kind of actually put some weight into what those categories actually are.
Yeah. We have, for as long as we've been around, I think, talked about issues in terms of open-handed issues and closed-handed issues, like open-handed meaning things that we're just not holding super tightly to, and closed-handed being the things that, like, we're willing to fight over. And while those have been helpful over the years, like, it's just those two alone are not sufficient over, like, you know, really building unity. And so these kind of four different distinctions or levels really helpful in terms of, just really declaring what we are willing to fight over, and what we are saying we will not fight over. But then in terms of alignment for leadership and all those things too, and really pressing, I think, on the more open-handed issue side, here are things that we get to, like, give each other the benefit of the doubt on, strive not to be divisive over, and really, like, the liberty side of things, like, hey, these are things we get to lay down for the sake of loving and building up the other person in the church. And so even the, like, how we should approach those things look a little bit different. And I think all aim at building up towards unity in Jesus, and around the theological, you know, tribe vein lane that we swim in, which, you know, we know that we have a lane that we swim in, and it's not the same as other churches, and that's okay. And so while we can acknowledge that the fences of orthodoxy are wider than, you know, what we have, you know, necessarily determined here, we have determined things here and how we're going to link arms and lead in terms of ministry and preaching and teaching and caring and gospeling and all of the things. And so laying those things out, super helpful. And then Michael alluded to just the historical connection. And while there are lots of all kinds of cultural conversations happening right now, we are not trying to be novel. And even though we are a non-denominational church and we're part of Acts 29, so there's some theological distinctives that come along with that. But like, we're not part of like a big like institution or formal tradition. And so sometimes that like maybe makes us seem like we're out here like going rogue and coming up with things on our own. And that's just not it's not what we get to do. Every local church gets to receive what has been handed down from the churches that have come before, which really just comes from Jesus. And so part of the theological triage document and that clarity stuff is saying, hey, Nicene Creed, Apostles' Creed, these are things that we hold on to that are old. The 1689 London Confession,
Baptist Confession.
Yeah. Baptist Confession of Faith. I always get the letters and the whatever moving around in my brain. But like adopting those things with some comments and caveats or asterisks here, or whatever, but like trying to place the village church in the theological history of God's people so that we're not just saying, hey, we're out here just kind of picking and choosing from a theological buffet what we feel like fits, but we are trying to recognize that we are part of a historical tradition that isn't just man's tradition, but it's God's stuff that's been passed down throughout the centuries, that's been part of the church for as long as it's been around. So that's the heartbeat behind that.
Yeah. You might be wondering, like, is all this necessary? We've just, Michael and Scott have just talked about why it is necessary, but there's a quote that came to mind, and it's, to be unclear is to be unkind. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of all of this is to not set someone up to be in a position or to think a certain way, and then to be like, I thought, or they're teaching someone or a group of people a different way that maybe is outside of kind of the alignment of the church. And so our purpose in this is to be kind to the church, to the members, to the people that you might be leading one day. And so all this is really necessary, and we're excited about it. So
yeah, I mean, very practically, this will just show up in Village Gate membership stuff, and will also show up in deacon assessment or bringing someone, onboarding someone into that process. Like, you know, that's a very practical way that this stuff will show up for the preservation of unity in the church. So anything else along those lines at all? Speak to another dimension of all of that stuff. We know that cultural moment, there's a lot of stuff going on. And so we've talked a lot. I mean, Romans, I think, was really helpful going through that last year. Michael, even kind of a preface in a sermon a few weeks ago, just speaking very clearly to the place of the pulpit and really the Sunday gathering in general when it comes to like speaking to the things that are happening in the world. We are like just convinced that we get to let God's word set the agenda for what's happening on a Sunday morning. And I know that when we don't talk about whatever X, Y, or Z has happened that week, or what you've seen in your feeds or in the newspaper or whatever, like we know that there are folks maybe showing up who would like us to say something about those things, and or maybe folks showing up that would like us to say nothing about anything ever. And so when we lead in this particular way that we have, I think, always kind of let in convictionally, that we are not going to show up and let the news cycle dictate what we are saying. Like, we know that like maybe offends people or ticks people off on all the sides, all the time. But that is a conviction that we have, so as to not because we're trying to bury our heads in the sand or be cowards and not say stuff about things, but because we don't want to like hand over the reins of what we're saying and what we're talking about on a Sunday when the church is gathered for the building up of the saints. We don't want to hand that over to the news. And, well, which news and what feed and what, you know, like, yeah, all kinds of things stem from that. So that being said, we know that we also then, with that choice, like, when are we talking about some things that are happening in culture? Like, there are lots of voices yelling into your ears every day about all the things that are happening in the world. The church should be a voice in that, and we want to be a voice in that. And we know that, you know, while we are striving for theological clarity and we want biblical literacy, and so we're going through scriptures and we're, you know, doing theological masterclasses and have these documents, we want those things, but we also know that that doesn't always translate into moral clarity or discernment of the day in terms of what is happening, that there's just not always a straight line from theology to then what we say or what we do on a given day. So we do want to speak and offer like moral clarity around what's happening, you know, in the world. And that is not a thing that, like, we desire to every day or every week, like, hey, let's talk about the latest headlines and write up a Google Doc or a thing or whatever. But, like, we've talked about, you know, maybe it shows up in a podcast that we do once a month-ish or every 4 to 6 weeks or something that hits on, you know, stuff that has been going on, questions that you guys might be asking or things that we're seeing that we are concerned about that we would like to speak into, and not offering political opinions or advice or this or that, but speaking to the spiritual realities that are covering all of those things, because we get to approach stuff as Christians first and citizens of the kingdom and with the scriptures as our final rule of faith and practice for life. And so all that to say, like, yeah, it might show up in some Google Docs here or there. It might show up in maybe a class here or there. It probably will show up in a podcast throughout the year, but we know that we do have an opportunity to speak into what's happening in the day and, you know, saying stuff. And we want to make sure that we're not being dominated by that in our work weeks. We're pastors first and not pundits. But we do want to have a voice in all those things for you guys. And so we will do something along those lines here in the coming month or two. But that's on our hearts. We want to do that. We want to speak to those things. And we know that some of you want us to speak to those things too. And so we look forward to disappointing you in all the things that we say. I'm just kidding. But maybe not. We want to encourage and build up the church and try to lead you well in the ways of the world. So
sounds like you said Scott's going to tell us who to vote for and Matt's going to do a political monologue.
Yeah, that's great.
I've been practicing. Got to help.
We hear him in his office. Every... Cool.
I think that's great. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Scott. Yeah. Two other little things from me. One is just very practically, again, hearing that there are more people connected in groups than ever have been. We actually are down to 9 groups instead of 10. And so there's less groups, but more people than ever. And so I would love to see 2 more groups planted this year. So that is just a prayer of mine, that there's nothing magic about that number. That's just a thing that I would love to see. So in terms of growing together, would love to see 2 groups grow this year. If you have thoughts, questions, you hear that and you're like, oh, like I might be interested in doing that, let me know. I would love to chat with you, talk to your group leaders. They are equipped to do that as well. So that's a thing for me. And then also, we just want to grow in caring for each other. So that might sound really generic, but as we continue to grow in numbers as a church, we do want to, like, help you guys grow in listening to each other, talking to each other, caring for each other in the everyday burdens of life, in the sins of everyday life. Like Michael said earlier, there is just a sweet, robust discipleship culture. And part of us not just assuming that that's going to continue isn't just like feeding into theology and morality or whatever, but it's also, hey, how do we care well for each other? And so that might show up in a little sermon series later this year, might show up in a, you know, kind of like the masterclass stuff. Maybe it's a video call going through a book with whoever wants to be a part of that later in the year. But we just want to do some things to help us grow together and what it looks like to genuinely enter into each other's lives, speak into each other's lives, and build each other up, carry burdens, and speak life into each other. So yeah, just some stuff to look forward to this year. Matt, a couple things that you want to hit on, band stuff, print stuff.
Yeah, really excited about some new band opportunities. So for some context, again, if you're new to the church, we're 16 years old-ish. For the first 5 years, we had one band that literally met for 2.5 to 3 hours every Thursday night, practiced every Sunday morning for an hour, and then did the set. That was fun, but that was also a lot. And by God's grace, as the church grew, we added a second band around 2014, 2015-ish, and that was challenging but fun, and it gave new people an opportunity to serve and to lead, gave some variety musically. And for the last 11 or 12 years, we've been 2 bands at the Village, and just recently, by God's grace, as our church has grown, as he's brought in musicians and singers, auditions and all that stuff, we are now going to 3 bands in March. So starting March 1st, we're excited to have 3 full bands, and that's maybe you're like, well, cool, or whatever, how's that impact me? But what this means is that each band has, that they're led by a leader, and that's a deacon position, and so we don't take that lightly. That comes with things and character, as we've talked about in Sunday gatherings, and competency. That comes with a co-leader position, where there's also a person who is being trained and developed, and they are a significant part of song selection. We want them to know why we put sets together and how we think about gatherings and what that means for our church. And I just want to list three reasons. A couple of people have said, why are we going to three bands? What's the need? Why can't we, whatever? And so this is it. To create space for others to be part of the Village Music program. And so as we talk about growing together, certainly that means a lot of things, but that is also just we're going to multiply bands as our church continues to grow. Second reason is to create opportunities for current Village Music members to lead and be developed. So maybe you're a member of a band and we're saying, hey, they've shown leadership or they have a desire to lead, and we want to make sure that more people can be added to the band, but also people that are on bands could be developed and led and kind of take a next step. We want to create opportunities for musical variety amongst the three bands as well. We know that every Sunday we don't need to hear the same song by the same person, by the same person who put the set together. And so we hope that there will be with three bands some creativity and distinction between one gathering and the next gathering, or not in the same Sunday, but from Sunday to Sunday. And lastly, the fourth reason why is to foster health and avoid burnout amongst the Village Music program. And this happens in two ways. There are some people that want to play more, and there are some people that are like, I can't do two Thursday nights a month and two Sunday morning practices and two gatherings two times a month. And so there's consideration of like stepping down, and we would love to see if we can keep those people that have been a part of things for so long in. And so we're giving them a little more freedom to say, hey, like you'll be on once a month at least, maybe twice in a month. And so that allows them to maintain amongst a busy schedule being a part of the band, but also that opens up spots where if you want to play more, there are those spots to fill in and play more as well. So it's been a great fit. Tons of other reasons, but we're excited about that. And I just also want to take this time to thank the bands. Maybe you're here and you recognize all the time that's put in, that between the private practice that they put in, between a 2.5 hour Thursday night practice, between getting here at 8 or before and practicing for an hour and then doing two sets, that's a lot. And so I just, as you see a band member, thank them for their time, thank them for what they do. I'm really grateful for them. So
sweet. That's super encouraging. It's exciting. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like one of the things that we get to do when we talk about growing together is, hey, we can have all the things, but we also like know that we don't, like it's God that gives the growth, right? Absolutely. And so we have a prayer night coming up in March that is like geared towards that.
Yep.
Matt, do you want to share a little bit about kind of the heart behind that?
Absolutely. We do one-ish of these a year. And the purpose of this is a couple reasons. First of all, we do want to communicate some things in this prayer night that are important to us. We also want to grow in our culture of prayer. We have a prayer team at the Village Church who maybe some of you have had the opportunity to pray with someone at the end of a gathering. This prayer team will be available. We want to have opportunities where we invite the whole church to come together in one night to say, let's also pray for some things that are maybe outside of the normal gathering. And so the theme for this prayer night is growing together. It's a theme for the year that I think, Michael, you talked about maybe earlier in his podcast. And along with that theme, we're going to highlight a couple things in a 5-minute block here or a 5-minute block here, and then take about 20 minutes in a couple different blocks to pray over those things. There will be specific prayer requests. There's opportunities to be invited into thinking through how you might be able to take a next step in your personal growth or development, opportunities to pray for how you might be able to be an important part of someone else's growth and development, and also how we might be able to think of what does mission look like as a part of this? Who doesn't know the gospel? Who is outside of the church, a friend, a neighbor, a person that you're serving alongside at Surf City or wherever that we might be able to invite in? And so we're really looking forward to this. I'm sure we'll talk about details, and you might have even heard announcements on it, but our prayer night this year is March 11th. That's a Wednesday from 7 to 8. There will be limited childcare from ages 0 to 5, and we would love for any group or any person to be able to come to this. It will be structured in a way that you might think it's overwhelming to pray for an hour. We will not be praying for that whole hour, but prayer is the gist of that night, and we do want to leave a significant amount of time to pray. And so we hope that you might consider this, come out, look at what it means to grow in your prayer life, certainly connect with people that you might not see at one of the gatherings, because this is just one event, one night for 1 hour. And so, yeah, you'll hear more about it, but I hope that's helpful. Anything from you?
That's great. No, Matt, I think we literally met yesterday and talked about it, and I think we're all excited to, lead you all as elders in prayer for some specific things that we want to grow in. And yeah, so we're just pumped about that. So mark your calendars. We would love to see you guys here.
Absolutely.
For that. A couple of just kind of last things to hit on, calendar, communication stuff. You have already experienced this probably, But we have implemented a new add-on in Church Center called Clearstream, which is a texting service. So if you have gotten a text that we're not meeting because snow or weather or whatever, or hey, a reminder to fill out your membership renewal thing if you're a member of the church, that is a service that we have added on to Planning Center, just because we know, A, some of you just don't see notifications, either on purpose in Church Center or accidentally. But texting is a thing that most people pay attention to. And so
we'll get you one way or the other.
One way or the other, we'll get you. The Bridge has also asked for that kind of... So there's lots of like different venues that we can use texting for. Sometimes it's just a more effective way of reaching people. So just so you know, that's... Like, you didn't, like, sign up for a thing. You are just signed up for that. If you're in there, you can opt out if you want to, but don't do that because we're not going to use that all the time. We will only use that for, like, important reminders and that kind of stuff, too. So that's a thing. Also, in terms of, like, calendar stuff, like Matt said earlier, the building, there's just stuff going on in the space, and we just have a lot happening in church life, and so we want you guys to know what's happening in the church, and there are actually ways that you can subscribe to, it's called like an iCal feed. It's what you would put into your Google Calendar, or if your iPhone, I don't know what that is, but yeah, I'm not one of those people. But you can like take the feed and you can add it to your calendar that you use, so that events that are happening in the village just automatically pop up into your calendar. So I will have that link for you guys on the family meeting page. We will also have that living somewhere on the website, so you guys can see that too. We'll have some printable calendars also available for you guys just to know what the rhythms are in the church on an annual basis, as well as like a day-to-day, like every day of the year, like this is what's happening in the church on a bigger scale. So that stuff will be printed out. We'll have a few of those at the family meeting, but also we'll have an updated version available on the website too, where you can zoom in, which might be easier to see for like the day-to-day stuff. And also just, Michael, do you want to speak to like the group? You can subscribe to group calendar stuff on Church Center.
Yeah, in each of your groups, I think the setting is open to anyone, but if you're in a group, whether it's clean team or your community group or men or women or whatever it is, if you go to events, I think on the Church Center app, I don't think you have to use the web version or anything, you can essentially click subscribe, and it's the same thing. You get that link to that particular group, you put it in your Google Calendar or Apple Calendar or whatever, and then that stuff will automatically import into each of your things. So all the way down to per group, and then what I think what Scott's talking about are the larger events that are church-wide,
yeah,
on the calendar tab.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you have some options there. In my own family, Kim's like, what? Why isn't church stuff on our calendar anymore? And it's like, well, we don't use Google Calendar to run our church anymore. We're using Church Center. So
yeah,
that's a shift.
So yeah, there you go. If you have questions about that, let us know. But there are ways for you guys, if you want to know what's happening and have that accessible on your app or whatever, we just want to put those in your hands. So let us know if we can help with that. Last couple things. Michael, do you want to speak to Global Go, Guatemala stuff?
Sure. Or just on the calendar thing, I would just say what we try really hard. It might feel like random chaos when you're just like, oh, there's a thing. It's another night that we're doing a thing or another whatever. Like we try really hard. All staff meets together once a month. And one of the things that we talk about every single time is calendar. And not just like what's going on this week and how do we respond to it, but how can we... Like the changes that Scott mentioned with like Connect Month going from 3 to 2 and all that stuff, it might feel just completely random to you or like chaos. It's not. And we're trying to give you a bigger picture so that you can see how that stuff kind of plays together. If you have questions about that, you can always ask.
Yeah, there's a method to the madness.
Yeah. And it's something we're trying to solve all the time as well. So,
right.
Yeah, Global Go. The biggest thing is we're not going to Guatemala this year. We're not doing a trip there this year. That's news to some of you, and that's, you know, tough or whatever. A couple things about Global Go. One, I just want to say Matt's wife, Tammy, she's been involved in that for maybe the whole time, and it's been a joy to work alongside her. She's not stepping down from that. I feel like I'm setting And she's still around.
She's being retired.
She's still doing what she's doing. Tammy's like, well, No, so I just want to thank her because 5 years in, you guys don't get to see it, but I get to interact with lots of other churches and other, I mean, lots of other global relationships, partnerships from around the world. And I was with a guy this past week who literally was like, I mentioned Tammy and global stuff, and he was like, yeah, I think we used her grocery list to buy groceries when we were in Guatemala. So, I mean, all the way down to granular stuff, but also big level stuff. It's been such a joy, and I love it so much. And Tammy just kills it in terms of logistics and all those things. So we're 5 years in. The biggest reason why we're not going is because of some shifts that have happened in Guatemala. We are deeply involved. Like, I want you to know, it is not just a week where we go hang out and then we don't hang out or we don't talk to those people. We are deeply involved in the relationships and what's going on there. It's probably our biggest, like, church planting investment and output is in global stuff right now. And that's okay. What started with, you know, this guy named Mitch going into a village and, you know, asking people if they want some chicken grew into a church in Los Cholitos, and that's going well. But in recent years, things have gotten much more complex. There's a coalition of five churches working alongside not just Mitch and Amanda, but Ginder and Noemi, and also Los Cholitos is part of that. And so, yeah, involved in the day in, day out, week in, week out of what's going on in there. But that complexity has brought, you know, two mission houses, another missionary that's there from Pennsylvania. And with that has just been like, man, it's a good time for us as like kind of global go at the village to just take a year off and reflect and consider how we can best serve them. And I put together a document. I think, Scott, you can share that on the family meeting page or whatever. But essentially kind of, it has allowed us to be better at what we're doing, to grow in health, to determine different like layers of global partnership. Like level one would be, yeah, we want to go there every year. And so maybe we go to Zambia next year. Maybe we go to Uruguay next year. Like determining what that means, we're financially invested, we're relationally invested, but maybe there's like level two, maybe we're just giving financially, but we're not planning to take teams. Level three, maybe it's as needed. And so blah, blah, blah. There's lots of stuff going on. We're not going to Guatemala. Tammy's awesome. And we love the people that we have built relationship with. We're open books about that stuff. What we probably will do is take this year to kind of cheer up some things and certainly invite those who have been to Guatemala in probably sooner than later to just, man, peel back behind the curtain a little bit, share some more information or whatever. And so you can always ask about where things are with any of that stuff.
Cool. Can I say just one more thing? Sure. Mike, you did a great job with that. What we don't want you to hear is that, oh, we're not going on a Global Go trip, so we're not doing anything for Global Go or missions. That's not true. We are supporting Tyler as a church, kind of a part of church planting opportunity stuff, and so we're investing into him. Caitlin Clark is heading overseas, and we're meeting with her, investing into her. There's another church plant that, with a couple from our church that we're investing in, and they might be planting a church. They will be planting a church, Lord willing, in a couple months. And so just so you know, there's multiple ways we get to influence and invest in church planting and in global missions. And so we are mindful of that. We'll share those things over the course of time, but please don't hear, because there's no trip, we're not doing anything. So
it's over.
It's over. We're done.
Yeah. We're done. We're just going to, close up shop. Cool. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Last thing is just calendar items, which you will just be able to look at your sheets or your Google calendars or whatever if you want all that stuff after this family meeting or whatever. But there is family movie night coming up on February 27th for kids. We're watching that the animated David movie that came out that's supposed to be really good. Haven't seen it yet, but that's I think 6 to 8 on Friday, February 27th. Prayer night that Matt talked about on March 11th. March is Connect Month, and so just again a reminder, if you or someone that you know is curious about being baptized or pursuing membership at the village, then there are opportunities to do that.
that month, we do have the Next Steps Huddle actually coming up this Sunday. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this before, you know, the Family Meeting Sunday, we have, after both gatherings, Next Step Huddle for Servant Life in particular, if you're curious about connecting to a team. We have a women's Bible study that's coming up, I think, in March it's lasting a couple months. This year, some of our ladies are going to the Gospel Coalition Women's Conference. And what they do on those years is, like, they always release whatever the theme of the conference is, they always do have like a Bible study that is related to that leading up to the conference. And so some of the ladies are doing that. I believe it's in the Psalms, I think. Okay. But yeah, so if you want to get connected to that, there's information about that on the Next Steps page and the Women's page on the website. Man Camp, the registration for that is open. That is April 17th through 19th, Friday night, all day Saturday, Sunday morning, come back in time to gather with the church, stinky and smelly. Although I guess that'll be different. We'll be maybe, usually we get back in time for the 10:30, but that doesn't exist anymore. So we have the 9 and the 10:45, so we'll figure that out. But Man Camp is coming up toward, like mid-April. And then Cable Adventure Days, we've announced that already too, but just to put your mark your calendars or whatever for that, for cable age kids, July 16th through the 18th. That is our not VBS, VBS thing that we do Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday morning. So yeah, if you have kids that are cable age, or if you are an adult or an older kid that would like to serve, we would love to have you be a part of that as well. So more information about all that stuff coming up as it approaches. That is all that I have on my list. Is there anything else?
Easter weekend's coming up, one gathering for the Good Friday gathering. We're excited that. So just little things coming up all the time. But yeah, all those things are really important.
Yeah, we know the opportunities to all gather together as like one church, you know, all at the same time or a few and far between. But Good Friday, we are going to just have one gathering that night, which is super fun.
It's not too far away, like 6 weeks. So
Cool. Well, yeah, this is a longer conversation, more than we will say on Sunday at the family meeting. Again, that is on purpose. If you have questions about anything, let us know in advance or even after if you listen to this after the family meeting. But thanks for listening to this. I will strive to put timestamps so you guys know when to find stuff on here if you're looking for a particular topic. But yeah, thanks. Again, just a reminder, join us on Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. We'd love to have you there. Thanks.